Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger, and today I have a special guest, and we're actually on location today in the home of Rob Elliott, who is one of the creators of the music that you often hear behind the Mormon messages. And so I wanted to start off with a quote about music, and this is from President J. Reuben Clark, Jr., who was a member of the first presidency of the church. And I learned that he served nearly 30 years as a counselor to three presidents of the church. And this is what he says: "We get nearer to the Lord through music than perhaps through any other thing except prayer." And I thought that was pretty powerful, because you think of the ways that we can access our Father in heaven, but really, other than prayer, music, according to President Clark, is one of the most powerful ways that we can do that. I thought it would be fun to take us behind the scenes to the home of Rob Elliott, who does create a lot of the music that we hear behind Mormon messages music, also other music that we have at the church, and interestingly, the music that you heard at the beginning of Mormon Channel Daily was created by Rob Elliott. So it's fun to put a name with that music as well. So Rob, thank you for having us here.
Thank you for having me.
So I wanted to just start kind of from the beginning and ask you how you got involved in composing music and how it all began.
Good question. It goes way back. I think I was 4 or 5 years old and gravitated towards the piano, and I would muster myself on the piano bench, my feet hanging from the piano bench, not touching the ground, and just kind of tinkering away at the piano. And probably should have realized long ago that I wanted to be a film composer, because my earliest remembrance of playing the piano was actually, it was situated right next to our television. And I remember distinctly turning the TV set completely down, the volume down, and just playing to various television programs, and just loved it.
It's so great.
Yeah, I'm sure the score, as it were, wasn't that great, but I thought it was great as a 5-year-old, but I loved it, and that's pretty much how it started.
That's so wonderful. You think of a lot of parents who are trying to force music lessons on their children, but you just gravitated toward it naturally. Did your parents think that was wonderful? Did they encourage you in that? Or
they did. They saw that I had an interest, and so they started me in piano. I wasn't the best piano student. I would get in trouble with my piano teacher when I would bring back a piece the next week and try to rearrange it and rewrite it. And again, I'm sure it wasn't that good, but I thought it was good, so I thought it needed to be rewritten, and or at least a variation on a theme, and she didn't like that. I only lasted about a year at that. I have played ever since and written ever since. I just love it.
Did you have any other formal training after that, or did you just basically teach yourself?
Mostly self-taught. I've had some college, harmony, counterpoint, the typical classes. So training later on, but I really work my craft every day. John Williams says that, someone asked him, how did you become John Williams? He says, simply work your craft every day. And so every day I learn something new. I analyze a score, I'll study. It just doesn't stop. I just work at it every day.
That's such a great way to learn, and encouraging for other people who maybe might not have an opportunity for formal education in a particular subject, but knowing that you can really master something by just practicing every day. That's really encouraging.
The desire to want to do it is key. You know, we live in a great time where we are accessible to all forms of music immediately via the internet. There's portions of my day that I just listen to music, all kinds of music. You would think it'd just be film scores, but I'll listen to anything from a polka to a jazz piece just for certain inspiration, just to give me a direction to go.
That's wonderful. How long have you been working with the Mormon Messages group?
The first piece I did with the Mormon Message group was the 9/11 piece. And that came about by meeting Dale Jones, actually, at the LDS Film Festival. He had come to see Errand of Angels, which I had scored, and he introduced me to someone who introduced me to someone else, and then just the rest is history. And I've enjoyed a great relationship for the last 5 years.
That's wonderful. What have been some of your favorite things to compose?
That's a good question, Lisa. You know, if I look back at the last 60 days, I would say that is. I'm a very present person. Whatever I'm working on now is my favorite thing. And I love what I've done in the past, but I feel there needs to be progression in everything. And music's no different. In the last 60 days, I've worked on multiple projects for the church. I've also worked on music for Survivor, a new CBS series called The Great American Bake, which sounds kind of lame, but is a blast when these gourmet cooks are trying to get bread to rise and you got to write music to it. I loved it. I had a blast doing
it. That's so fun.
And then I worked on a Bear Grylls new series called Get Out Alive. You can imagine the kind of music that was. That was fun. So, you know, there's just lots of things to do, and I enjoy it. The variety part of this work is maybe one of the most enjoyable things, and especially in the church. I have done jazz pieces behind Mormon Messages. I think that one was called Looking Through the Window Scene. And then I'll do something a little more epic, Moments That Matter Most, Earthly Father, Heavenly Father. It seems like every time I get an assignment, it's just exciting and new. And that's what I love about it, because you don't get stagnant working with the church. They really do have a very extensive and fertile creative team that comes up with these great ideas.
Well, and the nice thing is, because you do enjoy a wide variety of music and your talents are so diverse, you can accommodate that variety.
Thank you.
I want to paint a little bit of a picture for those who are listening in of where Rob maybe gets his creative juices, and we'll ask him, of course, here. But I'm in his studio, his home studio, and don't let that fool you. It is not only amazing to look at, but it's also very techy as far as the decorations that he has, because the decorations actually help him in his music. Rob, if you wouldn't mind, and I know we didn't really talk about this, but will you talk about these two wooden...
Oh, sure, sure.
Pieces on either side of the wall?
Yeah, a good friend of mine, Richard Lenz, is an expert, acoustical expert, and he really designed this room to just be a perfect environment both to work in and to mix music in. And these two pieces that you're referring to are called QRDs, and they're essentially, they make the space believable in a mixing environment. I spend a fair amount of time in here, and any kind of sound source can be fatiguing to any of us. But this room is tuned, especially for this room. He actually told me he tunes it like a guitar. It's a great space to work in. I love it. And he's done a fabulous job.
The wooden piece that I look at when I'm facing Rob looks like kind of a 3D checkerboard, but it's wooden. And then the piece that's behind me, to try and describe it, maybe looks like a wooden accordion, but it doesn't move. It's very cool. I know that's probably layman's terms to describe it, but it's a great environment. What does the role of prayer and or revelation play in the work that you do?
It's key. My feeling is that being tethered to the source of all creations is probably a good idea. There's steps that any of us have to take in our work environment. I'm just lucky enough to do the kind of work that's also a hobby, and I love it. It also can be challenging, let's say, to have enough inspiration. So that requires some work on my end, living in such a way that it can come to me. But I start each day with a prayer, obviously. There are some projects where that might happen a few times. It's also important to understand that, you know, my feelings and the way I treat others, especially my sweetheart, is right. It reminds me of the story of Joseph Smith having an argument with Emma, and he had some problems in the translation until he solved it. To a lesser extent, I've had that same situation, that if I've had a disagreement with my sweetheart, I have learned early on that I better get that taken care of, and usually apologize to her just to get back to work. And then the other thing I'd like to say is I've learned recently, didn't always have this idea, but of course I would always pray that I would understand the intent of the producer and the directors and the rest of the creative team on the project. And sort of an epiphany came to me a few months back that in addition to that, if I pray to the source of all that's good, and that if I really truly understood his will, I don't think I've been disappointed yet. And so it's kind of an epiphany. It's like, I wish I'd thought of that long ago, but it was good to finally figure out. So that's the process, basically.
Thank you for sharing that with us. And really a good example, I think, for all of us to follow in our own work, because we all have work of whatever kind, whether we have a formal career or if we're a parent staying home full-time with our children, that's a full-time job, but we, I think, can all learn from that example. So thank you. I know when we talked on the phone earlier this week that you mentioned that you were a convert to the church. Mm-hmm. Would you mind sharing that story with us?
Yeah, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version of it. I was raised in Detroit, Michigan, and you know, since that early time at 4 or 5, I just wanted to play jazz piano and eventually play actually piano for the Tonight Show. That was my goal at age 6 or 7, and lived in Detroit until I was about 14. We moved then to California, and a few years after we moved, I met this young lady at a play, Joseph and His Technicolor Dreamcoat. I was the music director for that play, and she was in the cast. She was very unique, peculiar, and very beautiful. So she caught my attentions, and she was patient with me. And the first time I went to her house, interestingly enough, we had dinner. But guess who was also there at her house? A couple of young men, white shirts, ties.
Oh, that's funny.
We hit it off immediately. In fact, they gave me the first discussion that night. And after about 10 minutes, he asked me a question. And I said, "Can I ask you a question? Have we talked before? Because this sounds very familiar." And of course, he shared with me that, you know, that's a spirit telling you that it's true. Anyway, the long and short of it is I was baptized and have enjoyed membership in the church since.
That is such a great story. I love that story. It's such a great romance. Thank you. Appreciate you sharing that with us. What's been your favorite Mormon message to compose? Do you have a favorite?
You know, I'm not trying to be safe and make someone mad, but I really don't have a favorite. Maybe I've done over 50 of them. I've enjoyed them for different reasons, and maybe it's just because of the variety, and each one of them has a unique spirit about them. Through video and hopefully good music, they teach a message deeply, I think. Which is one of the reasons I like to film score, because I love concert music. I love going to concerts and listening to music. But my personal opinion is music is never more powerful when it underscores something on the screen. And in this case, we're underscoring doctrine. We're underscoring teaching, and sometimes simple, sometimes more complex. So I'm not sure that I have a favorite. I will say this, some of my family does, and I think we mentioned this the other day, but my son, before he left for Brazil on his mission, was walking by the studio door, and the door was cracked open, and I was working on a project, and I think it was President Monson was speaking at this part of the film that I was scoring. And he walked back and forth. I can see him walking back and forth a couple times. And finally, he just bolted open the door and says, "Dad, did you just get tired of feeling the spirit every day?" And I said, "You know, I hadn't even thought about it. I don't take it for granted, but I was so deep in the science of scoring that I was a little closer to the trees to see the forest." And he quickly just showed me how to back up. And I thought, no, I don't get tired of it. You know, it's great to have family remind you of important things.
And kind of neat for him to be able to watch his father doing that all day long. I think that sets a great example for him as well. He's not here to speak, so I'm just going to volunteer. That's probably what he would say.
Well, I'm pleased to say that he's used a lot of them in the mission field, and it's a great tool to teach worldwide. And as we translate these into more and more languages, they're reaching more and more people.
We have a lot of people that comment that They want to share the gospel in a non-threatening way sometimes with their friends or family members who aren't members of the church. And Mormon Messages, they have said to me directly that they're a perfect way to do that.
They are. In fact, my own family, who are not members of the church, mom and dad, they love your music, right? Your mom and dad are your biggest fans.
Right.
And so I get to send them a lot of Mormon Messages. And I just tell them, Mom, I've written this latest score. I hope you like it. And of course, it leads to other things, doesn't it?
Wow.
She asked me questions. And it's not about music.
So when the producers come to you with a film or a project, do they come to you after the film's already produced, or do they come to you in the beginning? How does that process work?
You know, most of the time they come to me when the film is locked. And what lock means is that they have finished the editing, the running length and the cuts and all that is all completed. And then sometimes I'll get that with temporary music to it. It might be a score that James Newton Howard did for another movie, or John Williams, or someone else. And it's just kind of an idea to get my thinking going. Sometimes the film doesn't have anything to it. That's probably the scariest time, because they're not really sure what they want, and they want me to be inspired. No pressure.
Right.
In fact, someone asked me, what's the hardest part of your job? And the hardest part and the most thrilling part is the first 5 minutes. The very first time I watch a film without any music is both thrilling and agonizing, because it's a clear slate and you've got to fill it up with the right music. And it's exhilarating, but it's also unnerving.
When we first came in, Rob was showing us one of the recent Mormon Messages that he scored, which was the story of Esther. And I know we talked about that, and we interviewed Christina maybe about a month ago on the show. And he was telling us the process behind trying to score that film. And I actually want to ask you about that, if you'll tell that story again to our listeners of what it was like to score that.
Well, first, a big shout out to Christina. She's a wonderful and inspired producer, director, writer. I always enjoy working with her. Christina came to me with this project where, essentially, just to summarize, and it's available certainly to view, but it's showing Esther's courage thousands of years ago, and then fast-forwarding to three women in modern or present day, their courage. And she wanted to liken the scriptures unto us. The concept sounds, you know, wonderful. The challenge musically is almost insurmountable. And the reason being is when you underscore, when you score a scene and it takes place in the year 3000, there are certain elements and certain types and stylizations of music that are necessary. You wouldn't have a guitar playing back then, or at least electric guitar, and you wouldn't have, you know, certain instruments that are associated with today playing back then. But the film went back and forth between Esther anciently. And the three modern women. And the cuts were happening pretty quickly. The challenge was, is how do we make this score seamless in 3 minutes when you have probably about 20 cuts from ancient to modern, ancient to modern, ancient to modern. So it was a problem. It was a challenge for me. Anyway, our earlier question about the source of inspiration, I'm not sure that I had prayed more than that one. That, and it's interesting too, because, sorry, once you're tapped in to the source that is good, things work so much faster. When inspiration hits, you see the whole thing. You're not bits and pieces. And it's pretty simple. It's always simple when you see that. It took a long time, a lot of walks in the middle of the day, a lot of back and forth. And I'm sure Christina, she's so patient. I'm sure she was just waiting for me to send her something. And I just couldn't get it right until I got the right inspiration. And then once that happened, I think it worked really well.
And it's a beautiful score. It turned out just lovely.
Thank you.
it's fun to know what went into that, because I think I've watched that so many times, especially before I was interviewing Christina. But to hear the process that you went through makes it even more meaningful. And
well, and actually, I'm hoping that most, if not all, people that watch that film aren't really drawn to the music. My job is to underscore the message, mm-hmm. you know, and as soon as I go beyond that mandate, then it becomes a music video or a music concert. And that's not what I like. That's not what I want to do. I love film. I mean, it's my hobby. When I get done writing for 12 hours a day, I watch films. I just love it. And the best film scores are the ones that galvanize an emotional arc in the film. And that's where the art is, I think, and certainly work at it, try to work at it every day.
I think it works, though, and I think that you're right. The message does capture your heart first, but it's because of the music. They're kind of interrelated, actually, because you don't notice the music, but the music is what helps to make it so powerful.
And there's been many films throughout history where the music really is an important character in the context of the film. Certainly, there's been some very popular ones in the last generation, but that continues today. It's an important character that supports the rest of the characters. If you had a piece of film that was three characters, and for whatever reason, one of those three was taken out of the film wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. There'd be a gap. And I think the same with music. Now, having said that, sometimes the best music for a scene is no music. Sometimes that taking a breath musically draws you in, just like mm-hmm. I stopped talking there. And you want to, you know, you're drawn into it. And then when the music hits, it's like, oh, wow. So it's complicated, but so fun.
That's amazing. All these things that you never really think of sometimes when you watch a film, you just take it for granted and don't really think about it. Is there anything else that you think we've missed or that we should know?
I just consider it fortunate that I can wake up every day and do something that brings so much joy to me. You know, when I was younger in Detroit, my idea and vision of what I would do musically in my life is so different. I can't even tell you how different my life is now, but for good. So the lesson, I guess, is sometimes we have to get out of our own way, do the right things every day, and listen and feel inspiration, and a loving Heavenly Father is going to put us in the right path, and great things are going to happen.
Well said. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for letting us be here today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
We sure enjoy your music and look forward to hearing more of it.
Great. Thank you.
It's time to close, but I want to thank you for joining us today. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with me, send me an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day that I'd like to leave you with is called Gift of Our Lives, featuring Jenny Jordan Frogley and Ryan Innes. And I thought that was appropriate tribute to what Rob has done with music in his life. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, and have a great day.
We're given the gift of our lives. There's a lamp to lift, shine the light. And everyone will want to know Him when they look into our eyes. I will make this gift I give the way that I live.
Brothers of strength.
The strongest of all God's children will promise to be.
And I'll keep my faith.
Yes, and I'll watch and pray. Knowing we've been chosen for this day. We're given the gift of our lives. There's a lamp to lift, shine the light. Everyone will
song.
And we're not a-
stand up and raise our voices for our heavenly King.